大家好
Hello, everyone.
我是 AI 启示录。
I am the AI apocalypse.
最近
Recently.
整个 AI 圈被一个人的动作彻底搅动了。图灵奖
The entire AI community was completely stirred up by one person's actions.
得主
Winner.
被称为 AI 教父的杨立坤
AI icon known as the AI father.
正式离开了他工作了十多年的 Meta。
He officially left Meta where he had worked for over 10 years.
带着十亿美元的启动资金
with a starting fund of $10 billion,
成立了一家名为 M-Labs 的新公司
established a new company called M-Labs.
这本来只是一次普通的高管创业。
This was originally just a typical executive-level startup.
但真正让整个行业震动的是他临走前撂下的那几句狠话。
But what truly shook the entire industry was the few harsh words he said before leaving.
他说 ,LLM 就是一条死路。
He said that LLMs are a dead end.
他说谁在说像素重建没问题
?He said that someone was saying that pixel reconstruction was fine.
我跟谁急
Who am I in a hurry with?
他说
He said,
今天所有的生成式 AI 从根上就走错了方向。
All generative AI models have gone wrong today.
要知道
To know,
现在全世界几乎所有的 AI 公司
Currently, almost all AI companies in the world,
不管是 OpenAI, Google, 还是 Anthropic, 走的
Whether it's OpenAI, Google, or Anthropic, they all
都是同一条路
all on the same road.
基于 Transformer 的大语言模型
based on Transformer large language models,
通过逐 token 预测来生成内容
generate content based on the prediction of the bamboo token.
而杨立坤现在相当于站在全世界的对立面
And now Yang Likun is essentially standing on the opposite side of the world.
用自己一辈子的学术声誉和十亿美元
With his lifetime of academic reputation and $10 billion.
真金白银赌
Gambling with real money.
整个行业都走错了
The entire industry is going the wrong way.
更有意思的是
More interestingly,
这已经不是杨立坤第一次唱反调了。
This is not the first time Yang Likun has gone against the grain.
十年前
10 years ago,
当整个行业都在为强化学习疯狂的时候
When the entire industry is going crazy about reinforcement learning,
他画了一张著名的蛋糕
He drew a famous cake.
图说自监督学习才是智能的主体。
The picture shows self-supervised learning as the main subject of intelligence.
当时没人信他。
At that time, no one believed him.
但十年后 ,GPT 的爆发恰恰证明了他当年的判断是对的。
However, 10 years later, GPT's explosion proved that his judgment at the time was correct.
这一次历史会再次重演吗？
Will history repeat itself again?
杨立坤到底看到了什么
What did Yang Likun see?
别人看不到的问题
Problems that others cannot see.
他提出的那条新路线
The new route he proposed.
又真的能通向真正的通用人工智能吗
Can it really lead to true general artificial intelligence?
今天我们就来把这件事彻底讲清楚。
Today, let's talk about this in detail.
首先
First,
我们先把基本事实交代清楚。
Let's start with the basics.
杨立坤这次离开 Meta 绝对不是什么内部斗争失败失
He can definitely leave Meta this time. It's not a failure of internal conflict.
重出走
Lost favor and left.
恰相反
On the contrary,
在 Meta 的地位可以说是无可替代。
His position is irreplaceable.
作为卷积神经网络的发明人
As the inventor of convolutional neural networks,
深度学习的三大奠基人之一
One of the three founders of deep learning.
他从2013年就加入了当时的 Facebook， 一手。
He joined the Meta Facebook team in 2013.
建立了 Meta 的 AI 研究部门。
Establish a research department.
FAIR 培养了整整一代 AI 研究者。
FAIR cultivated an entire generation of AI researchers.
Meta 对他也足够宽容。
Meta is tolerant to him.
给了他几乎无限的资源和完全的学术自由。
He was given almost unlimited resources and complete academic freedom.
他可以不用管任何 KPI， 不用向任何人汇报。
He can ignore any KPI and not report to anyone.
只需要做自己认为正确的研究。
Just do the research that you think is correct.
在这种情况下，
In this case,
他选择在66岁这个年纪放弃安稳的首席科学家职位出来。
He chose to give up his stable position as chief scientist at the age of 66.
从零开始创业。
Starting a business from scratch.
只能说明一件事。
Only one thing can be said.
杨立坤的核心判断。
Yang Li Kun's core judgment.
其实可以用一句话来概括。一个没有预测自身行为后果能力的系统不配成为真正的智能体。
In fact, a system that cannot predict the consequences of its own behavior is not worthy of being a true intelligent being.
他举了一个非常直观的例子。
He gave a very clear example.
一个17岁的少年只需要花20个小时练习。
A 17-year-old boy only needs to practice for 20 hours.
就能学会开车。
You can learn to drive.
而现在的自动驾驶系统耗费了数百万小时的驾驶数据。
And the current autonomous driving systems have consumed millions of hours of driving data.
跑了几十亿公里的路。
Ran several hundred billion kilometers.
却依然无法实现真正可靠的 L3 级以上自动驾驶。为什么会有这么大的差距？
However, it is still impossible to achieve truly reliable level 3 or higher autonomous driving.
核心原因不是数据不够多。
The core reason is not that there is not enough data.
也不是模型不够大。
It's not just about the size of the model.
而是两者理解世界的方式完全不同。
Instead, they have completely different ways of understanding the world.
人类在开车的时候，
Humans while driving,
脑子里其实一直在运行一个世界模型。
In fact, there is always a world model running in my brain.
我们看到前面有一辆车，
We see a car in front.
我们不需要等它真的刹车就能预判到。
We don't need to wait for it to actually brake before we can predict it.
如果他突然刹车，
If he suddenly brakes,
我们应该怎么办？
What should we do?
我们看到路边有一个球滚出来，
We saw a ball rolling on the side of the road.
我们会下意识地减速，
We will subconsciously slow down.
因为我们知道后面可能会跟着一个跑出来的小孩。
Because we know that there might be a child running around later.
我们不需要经历过每一种可能的意外。
We don't need to experience every possible accident.
就能通过推理来应对从未见过的情况。
Through reasoning, one can handle situations that have never been encountered before.
而今天的大语言模型本质上做不到这一点。
But today's large language models cannot do this in essence.
他们只是在统计人类语言中出现过的规律。
They are simply identifying patterns that have appeared in human language.
然后复述这些规律。
Then reiterate these rules.
他们不知道什么是重力。
They don't know what gravity is.
不知道什么是碰撞。
I don't know what collision is.
不知道一个物体撞到另一个物体会发生什么。
I don't know what will happen when one object hits another object.
他们所有的知识 都来自于别人写在书上的文字。
All their knowledge comes from the words written in books.
而不是来自于对物理世界的直接观察和理解。
Not from direct observation and understanding of the physical world.
杨立坤说
Yang Lai Kun said,
我实在无法理解，一个连自己行为会导致什么后果都不知道的系统。
I really can't understand a system that doesn't know what the consequences of its own actions are.
凭什么被称为真正的智能体？而造成这个问题的根源
What is the root cause of this problem, which is caused by the fact that it is called a true intelligence?
在杨立坤看来
In Yang Lykun's view,
就是现在整个生成式 AI 赖以生存的基础逐像素重建和逐 token 预测。
The current basis for the survival of generative AI is pixel by pixel reconstruction and token by token prediction.
这就要说到杨立坤和主流路线的第一个也是最根本的分歧了。
This is where the first and most fundamental divergence between Yang Lykun and the mainstream road comes into play.
很多人可能都有一个疑问。
Many people may have a question.
为什么现在 AI 生成的视频永远都有一种说不出来的糊感？
Why do AI-generated videos always have a certain unnatural curvature?
不管是 Sora 还是其他任何模型生成的视频，放大看细节永远是模糊的。
No matter whether it's Sora or any other model-generated video, when magnified, the details will always be blurry.
扭曲的
distorted
不自然的
unnatural
很多人说这是因为模型还不够大
many people say this is because the model is not big enough
数据还不够多
not enough data
只要继续堆参数堆数据总有一天会变清晰的
as long as you continue to increase parameters and data there will eventually be a clear result
但杨立坤说不对。
But Yang Lykun said that it's wrong.
这个问题从原理上就解决不了。
This problem cannot be solved from a theoretical perspective.
和模型大小没有关系。
It has nothing to do with the model size.
他讲了一段自己早年的经历。
He told a story about his early life.
在 Transformer 还没有问世的年代。
In the era before the Transformer,
他和很多研究者就尝试过一个看起来非常自然的思路。
He and many researchers have tried a very natural approach.
让 AI 看一段视频。
Let AI watch a video.
然后像预测下一个词一样。
Then, like predicting the next word.
逐像素预测下一帧的画面。
Predict the next frame of the image pixel by pixel.
但不管他们怎么调参
But no matter how they adjust the settings,
怎么增加模型大小生成的画面永远都是模糊的
How to increase the model size so that the generated images are always blurry
为什么会这样
Why is this the case?
杨立坤举了一个非常经典的例子
Yang Lykun gave a very classic example
假设你有一段视频
Assume you have a video.
画面里是一个球撞到墙上反弹。
In the picture, a ball bounces off a wall.
在训练数据里
In the training data,
这个球有时候往左弹。
This ball sometimes bounces to the left.
有时候往右弹。
Sometimes, when you're driving, you might need to turn right.
两种情况出现的概率差不多。
The probability of both situations occurring is roughly the same.
现在你让模型预测下一帧的画面，模型。
Now you let the model predict the next frame of the image.
知道下一帧球。
Know the next frame of the ball.
要么在左边。
Either on the left.
要么在右边。
Either on the right.
但他不知道到底会在哪一边。
But it doesn't know where it should be.
如果它必须输出一个唯一确定的画面
If it must output a unique and definite picture.
那最安全损失最小的办法是什么
What is the safest and most cost-effective way?
就是把向左弹的那一针和向右弹的那一针叠在一起。
Just stack the frame where the left side is pushed and the frame where the right side is pushed together.
每个像素取个平均值。
Take the average of each pixel.
结果是什么？
What is the result?
结果
result
就是你会得到一个模糊的、发虚的、被冲淡的球。
You will get a vague, blurry, and washed out ball.
这就是为什么 AI 生成的视频永远是糊的。
This is why AI-generated videos are always blurry.
因为真实世界的未来本来就有多种可能性。
Because the future of the real world has many possibilities.
而逐像素预测
Pixel by pixel prediction
要求模型必须输出一个唯一的答案。
The model must output a unique answer.
它只能用平均来解决这个矛盾。
It can only solve this contradiction by averaging.
这还不是最要命的。
This is not the worst.
更本质的问题在于，语言和视觉这两种信息形态从根本上就是不一样的。
The more fundamental issue is that the two forms of information, language and vision, are fundamentally different.
语言是离散的
，only a few words.
有边界的，一个大语言模型的词表通常
，a large language model with a bounded vocabulary, such as,
也就只有50,000多个 token， 预测下一个词。
With only 50,000 tokens, it can predict the next word.
本质上就是从这50,000多个选项里挑一个概率最高的。这个问题虽然也很难。
The core of the problem is to choose the one with the highest probability from these 5,000 options, although this is also a very difficult problem.
但至少是有边界的。
But at least it is bounded.
但视觉信息完全不一样。
But the visual information is completely different.
一张 1080p 的高清画面有 1920×1080 三个像素。
A 1920x1080 pixel high definition image with 1680p.
每个像素有256种可能的取值。
Each pixel can have 256 possible values.
也就是说
That is to say,
下一帧画面的可能性数量接近10^1500万次方。
The number of possible outcomes for the next frame is approaching 1.5 billion.
这个数字有多大？
How big is this number?
比整个宇宙中的原子总数还要大无数倍。
Much larger than the total number of atoms in the entire universe.
你不可能像给每个词设一个出口那样。
This is not like giving each word an exit.
给每一种可能的画面也设一个出口。
Provide an exit for every possible scene.
这在数学上就是不可能的。
This is impossible in mathematics.
所以杨立坤说
So Yang Likun said,
像素重建
Pixel reconstruction
从根本上就是一个坏主意
From the root, it's a bad idea
它不是自监督学习的正确方向
It's not the right direction for self-supervised learning
那正确的方向是什么呢
What is the right direction?
杨立坤给出的答案是
Yang Likun's answer is that
别让模型猜每个像素了
Don't let the model guess each pixel.
先学会抽象。
First, learn abstraction.
再在抽象世界里做预测。
Make predictions in the abstract world.
这就是他这次押上全部身家的技术路线 JAPA.
This is his technical roadmap, JARPA, which he has invested all his resources in.
也就是联合嵌入预测架构。
This is the joint embedding prediction architecture.
这个架构从设计上就根本不输出任何像素或者文字。
This architecture is designed to output no pixels or text at all.
我来用
I'll use it.
最简单的话解释一下 JAPA 是怎么工作的。
The simplest explanation of how DARPA works.
传统的生成模型是输入当前帧的像素。
Traditional generative models take the current frame's pixels as input.
直接输出下一帧的像素。
Output the pixel of the next frame directly.
而 JAPA 的思路完全反过来。
And DARPA approach is completely opposite.
首先，他会把当前帧的画面送进一个编码器。
First, he will send the current frame's image into an encoder.
把整幅图像压缩成一个数学向量。
Compress the entire image into a mathematical vector.
也就是我们常说的 embedding.
That is what we often call embedding.
这个向量里不会包含每一个像素的具体信息。
This vector will not contain the specific information of each pixel.
只会保留画面中最核心的结构特征。
Only retain the most core structural features in the image.
比如有什么物体。
For example, what is an object?
它们在什么位置。
Where are they?
它们在以什么速度向什么方向运动。
What direction are they moving at a certain speed?
然后他会把下一帧的画面也送进另一个编码器。
Then he will also send the next frame of the image to another encoder.
同样压缩成一个向量，中间加一个预测器。
Also compress into a vector with an added predictor.
他的任务不是预测下一帧的像素。
Its task is not to predict the next frame's pixels.
而是在向量空间里从当前帧的表示去预测下一帧的表示。
And in the vector space, predict the representation of the next frame from the representation of the current frame.
杨立坤打过一个非常形象的比方。
Game Lycon has been in a very iconic place.
如果你训练一个模型去预测行车记录仪的视频。
If you train a model to predict driving recorder videos,
传统的生成模型会把 99% 的算力都浪费在预测道路两边树叶的随机摆动。
The generative models of the system will waste 99% of the computing power on predicting the random swaying of leaves on both sides of the road.
天上云彩的变化。
And cloud changes.
这些无关紧要的细节上。
These trivial details.
这些细节本质上是不可预测的。
These details are essentially unpredictable.
但它们却占据了画面中绝大多数的像素。
But they occupy the vast majority of the pixels in the image.
而 JAPA 的思路是，这些东西。
The idea of Garber is that these things.
我根本就不预测。
I don't predict at all.
我只关注那些真正重要的、可预测的结构信息。
I only focus on those truly important and predictable structural information.
前面的车离我有多远?
How far is the car in front of me?
它的速度是多少?
What is its speed?
它有没有要变道的迹象?
Does it show any signs of changing direction?
路边有没有行人?
Are there pedestrians on the side of the road?
至于树叶怎么晃,云彩怎么飘?
What about the leaves shaking and the clouds floating?
我根本不在乎。
I don't care.
换句话说
In other words,
JAPA 不是在尝试复制世界。
Barbara is not trying to replicate the world.
而是在尝试理解世界。
And in trying to understand the world.
他不追求生成一张以假乱真的图片。
He doesn't aim to create a realistic image.
他追求的是学到一个能够准确预测世界如何运行的抽象模型。
He is pursuing an abstract model that can accurately predict how the world will run.
说到这里
At this point,
很多朋友可能会觉得这个思路听起来好像也没有特别新鲜啊。
Many friends may find this approach to be no more novel than before.
没错。
Right?
JAPA 的核心思想其实可以追溯到杨立坤。
The core idea of Garber can actually be traced back to Yang Lilly.
30年前
30 years ago.
在贝尔实验室的老发明孪生神经网络。
The twin neural network of the old invention at Bell Labs.
30年前
30 years ago.
杨立坤在贝尔实验室做签名。
And Lycon is doing a signature at Bell Labs.
防欺诈检测。
Fraud detection.
当时别人的思路都是让模型生成一个标准签名。
At that time, the common idea was to have the model generate a standard signature.
然后和输入的签名做像素级的对比。
Then compare the input signature pixel by pixel.
但杨立坤的思路完全不同。
But Yang Lycon's approach was completely different.
他设计了两个结构完全一样的神经网络。
He designed two neural networks with completely identical structures.
也就是孪生网络。
Twin network.
把真实签名和待验证的签名分别送进这两个网络。
Send both the real signature and the signature to be verified into these two networks.
各输出一个向量。
Output a vector for each.
然后比较这两个向量的相似度。
Then compare the similarity of these two vectors.
同一个人的签名。
The same person's signature.
不管写得快还是慢，笔画粗还是。
Whether it's fast or slow, the handwriting is rough.
还是细,
still fine.
输出的向量都应该很接近。
All the output vectors should be very close to each other.
而伪造的签名,
forged signatures,
哪怕看起来再像, 输出的向量也会差很远。
Even if they look very similar, the vectors can be very different.
这个系统跳过了像素级的重建。
This system bypasses pixel-level reconstruction.
直接学习抽象的特征，效果比当时所有的方法都好得多。
It is much better than all previous methods.
JAPA的思路和30年前的孪生网络其实是一脉相承的。
The idea of Garber and the twin network of 30 years ago are actually the same.
先编码。
First encode.
再预测，表示绝不退回到原始像素。
Repredict means to never return to the original pixels.
但这条路有一个非常致命的陷阱。
But this road has a very deadly trap.
几乎把所有早期的研究者都绊倒了。
It almost tripped up all the early researchers.
这个陷阱叫做表示崩溃。
This trap is called representation crash.
什么是表示崩溃?
What is a crash?
我来解释一下。
Let me explain.
你训练两个编码器。
You train two encoders.
要求他们对同一张图的不同版本输出尽量相似的向量。
Require them to output vectors that are as similar as possible for different versions of the same image.
这时候模型可能会找到一个非常聪明的作弊解。
At this point, the model may find a very clever cheating solution.
不管你输入什么，是猫还是狗。
No matter what you input, whether it's a cat or a dog.
是车还是房子。
Is it a car or a house?
我都输出同一个全一的向量。
I output the same one hot vector.
这样一来,
That's how it works.
不管输入是什么,
No matter what the input is,
两个向量的相似度永远是100%。
The similarity between two vectors is always 100%.
损失函数直接降到了零。
The loss function has dropped directly to zero.
看起来完美解决了问题。
It seems to have perfectly solved the problem.
但实际上这个模型什么也没学到。
But in fact, this model has learned nothing.
成了一个废物。
Became a waste.
这就是困扰了联合嵌入方法几十年的最大难题。
This is the biggest problem that has plagued the joint embedding methods for decades.
早期的孪生网络解决这个问题。
Early twin networks solved this problem.
靠的是对比学习。
Based on contrastive learning.
也就是不仅要让相似的输入输出相似的向量。
Not only should similar inputs produce similar output vectors, but also
还要让不相似的输入输出不同的向量。
Make the input and output vectors different even when they are not similar.
你不仅需要正样本。
You not only need positive samples.
还需要大量的负样本。
We still need a lot of auxiliary samples.
但对比学习有一个致命的缺点。
However, contrastive learning has a fatal flaw.
它的计算量会随着模型规模的扩大而爆炸式增长。
The computational cost will increase exponentially with the expansion of the model.
杨丽坤自己就指出过。
Ang Lai Khan herself has pointed out that
在最坏的情况下
In the worst case,
你需要的负样本数量甚至可能会随着表示维度呈指数增长。
The number of samples you need may even increase exponentially with the number of features.
这就意味着对比学习根本不可能扩展到非常大的模型。
This means that contrastive learning cannot be scaled to very large models.
这个问题直到2020年左右才得到了根本性的解决。
This problem was not solved until around 2020.
杨立坤和他的博士后
Ang Lai Khan and his postdoctoral student
斯特凡·德尼从一位1961年的神经科学家霍勒斯·巴洛的假说中得到了灵感。
Stefan Denny was inspired by the hypothesis of neurologist Horace Barlow in 1961.
巴洛提出，生物的视觉系统是通过减少神经元之间的冗余信息来编码世界的。
Barlow proposed that the visual system of living organisms encodes the world by reducing the redundancy of information between neurons.
基于这个想法。
Based on this idea,
他们提出了一个叫做巴洛 Twins 的方案。
They proposed a scheme called Barlow Twins.
这个方案不再需要负样本。
This scheme does not require a secondary sample.
而是通过让不同神经元的输出。
Instead, it is through the output of different neurons.
尽可能互不相关。
As much as possible.
来避免表示崩溃。
To avoid expressing panic.
这套方法非常有效。
This method is very frustrating.
Barlow Twins 在 ImageNet 图像分类任务上直接达到了 73.2% 的准确率，比2012年突破性的 AlexNet 还要高出超过10个百分点。
The Barlow Twins achieved 73.2% accuracy on the ImageNet image classification task, which is higher than AlexNet's breakthrough performance in 2012 by more than 10%.
后来
Later,
杨立坤团队又推出了一个更简化的版本。
Ang Lai Khan's team has launched another simplified version.
叫 VIC rate 效果同样出色。
VIC rate has the same excellent effect.
而 Meta AI 团队沿着这个思路继续迭代。
And the MT AI team continued to iterate along this line of thinking.
最终做出了大名鼎鼎的 Dino 系列模型。
Finally, the famous Dino series models were created.
2025年8月发布的 Dino 3在 ImageNet 图像分类任务上取得了 88.4% 的准确率。
In 2025, the Dino 3 model achieved 88.4% accuracy on the ImageNet image classification task.
论文里写了一句非常提气的话。
The paper contains a very encouraging sentence.
这是自监督模型。
This is a self-supervised model.
第一次在图像分类上和弱监督。
First time in image classification with weak supervision.
甚至完全监督模型打平。
Even completely supervised models are being flattened.
更让人惊叹的是。
What is even more surprising is.
Dino 的语义理解能力。
DIO's semantic understanding ability.
你可以随便拿一张照片。
You can just take any photo.
用鼠标圈出其中一只手的区域。
Select the area of one of the hands with the mouse.
然后让模型在整张图里找和这个区域最相似的部分。D
Then let the model find the part of the entire image that is most similar to this region.
EINO 可以非常准确地把另一只手也从背景中分割出来。
EIO was able to accurately separate the other hand from the background.
同样的方法应用到球、猫、书本或者任何物体上，都能得到极其清晰的分割效果。
The same method can be applied to books or other objects, resulting in extremely clear segmentation.
这意味着什么？
What does this mean?
这意味着这个模型在没有任何人工标注的情况下。
This means that the model can perform tasks without any human annotation.
完全靠自己学到了手。
And learned everything by myself.
这个概念。他知道什么是手。
He knows what a hand is.
什么不是手。
What is not a hand?
哪怕手的姿势、角度、光线完全不一样。
Even if the pose, angle, and lighting are completely different.
他也能认出来。
He could also recognize it.
这才是真正的语义理解。
This is true semantic understanding.
而不是简单的像素匹配。
Not just pixel by pixel matching.
正是因为有了这些实实在在的成果。
It is precisely because of these tangible results.
杨立坤才会对自己的路线如此笃定。
Yang Li Kan is the only one who can be so confident about her own path.
他说
He said,
联合嵌入比传统方法更适合表示学习。
Joint embedding is more suitable for representation learning than traditional methods.
尤其是用于图像的自监督学习。
Especially for self-supervised learning for images.
现在我们可以回头看杨立坤这次的行动了。
Now we can look back at Yang Likun's actions this time.
很多人说他是在赌。
Many people say he is gambling.
是在和整个行业赌气。
I am challenging the entire industry.
但其实不是。
But actually, it's not.
他不是凭空提出了一个新理论。
He didn't just come up with a new theory out of nowhere.
然后拿着钱去碰运气。
Then go out and try your luck.
他是在一条已经研究了30年的路线上。
He was working on a research line that had been studied for 30 years.
已经取得了一个又一个阶段性成果之后。
After achieving one stage after another.
才决定把它推向极致。
Decided to take it to the extreme.
当然。
Of course.
我们也必须客观地说。
We must also objectively say that.
目前整个 AI 行业的主流观点依然和杨立坤相左。绝大多数研究者仍然相信。
The prevailing view in the entire AI industry still contradicts Yang Li Kan. Most researchers still believe that.
Scaling law 还没有碰到天花板。
The scaling law hasn't reached its limit.
只要继续堆参数、堆数据、堆算力，大。
As long as we continue to stack parameters, stack data, and stack computing power,
语言模型的能力就会继续增长。
The capabilities of language models will continue to grow.
最终会涌现出我们想要的所有能力。
Eventually, all the abilities we want will emerge.
包括对物理世界的理解和推理。
Including understanding and reasoning about the physical world.
在很多人看来。
In many people's opinion.
杨立坤的世界模型更像是一种学术上的自嗨。
Yang Likun's world model is more like a self-indulgent academic pursuit.
他们会说。
They will say,
你说 LLM 不能理解物理世界。
You said that LLMs cannot understand the physical world.
但 GPT-4o 已经可以看懂视频。
But GPT-4 has already been able to understand videos.
可以回答关于物理世界的问题了。
I can now answer questions about the physical world.
你说逐像素预测是死路。
You said that pixel by pixel prediction is a dead end.
但 Sora 生成的视频已经越来越逼真了。
But the videos generated by Sora are becoming more and more realistic.
这两种观点到底谁对谁错？
Which of these two viewpoints is right or wrong?
现在下任何定论都还为时过早。
It is still too early to draw any conclusions.
但有一点是确定的。
But one thing is certain.
杨立昆的挑战给整个过热的 AI 行业泼了一盆。
Yang Li Kun's challenge has thrown a bucket of cold water on the entire overheated AI industry.
非常及时的冷水。
Just in time for a cold shower.
过去这几年。
In the past few years.
整个行业几乎把所有的资源和注意力都集中在了大语言模型。
The entire industry has almost focused all its resources and attention on large language models.
这一条路线上。
On this road.
所有人都在比谁的模型更大。
Everyone is competing to see whose model is the largest.
谁的参数更多。
Who has more parameters?
谁的训练数据更全。
Who has more training data?
很少有人停下来问一问。
Few people stop to ask.
这条路真的能通向通用人工智能吗？
Can this road really lead to general artificial intelligence?
我们是不是从一开始就走错了方向？
Did we go the wrong way from the beginning?
杨立昆的存在。
Yang Li Kun's existence.
最大的价值就在于此。
The greatest value lies in this.
他就像这个行业里的一个牛虻。
He is like a big shot in this industry.
总是在所有人都往一个方向跑的时候。
Always when everyone is running in one direction.
站出来说，等一等，还有另一种可能。
Stand up and say there is another possibility.
十年前。
10 years ago.
当所有人都在为 AlphaGo 疯狂。
When everyone is crazy about AlphaGo.
认为强化学习就是未来的时候。
I think that reinforcement learning is the future.
他说不对。
He said it's wrong.
自监督学习才是蛋糕的主体。
Self-supervised learning is the main course.
当时所有人都嘲笑他。
At that time, everyone was laughing at him.
但后来的历史证明了他是对的。
However, later historical evidence proved it to be correct.
这一次
This time,
当所有人都在为 LLM 疯狂，认为
When everyone is crazy about LLM,
逐 token 预测就是通往 AGI 的唯一道路的时候
When the token of bamboo is predicted, it is the only way to reach AGI.
他又站出来说，不对。
He stood up and said it was wrong.
你们走错了。
You're wrong.
历史会不会再次重演？
Will history repeat itself?
我们不知道。
We don't know.
但不管最终结果如何。
But no matter what the final result is.
有这样一个人，愿意用自己一辈子的声誉和10亿美元的真金白银去挑战整个行业的共识，去探索一条少有人走的路。
There is someone who is willing to use their entire reputation and $1 billion of real money to challenge the consensus of the entire industry and explore an uncharted path.
这本身就是一件非常了不起的事情。
This is a very remarkable achievement in itself.
科学的进步从来都不是靠多数人的投票决定的。
Scientific progress is never determined by the vote of the majority.
很多时候
Often,
真理恰恰掌握在少数
The truth is held by the few.
敢于说不的人手里。
Those who dare to say no have power.
我是 AI 启示录。
I am the AI apocalypse.
感谢点赞与关注。
Thank you for liking and following.
我们下期再见。
See you next time.